Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KYW News Radio. Original podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One on One.
I've gotten to see a lot of beautiful things here. Getting drafted here, a dream come true for me and my family. Just the atmosphere for the U.S. Open Cup is so amazing. The fans have been amazing. I remember Clayton's free kick against Toronto. So there's a lot of things that, a lot of memorable moments that I always will remember. It's been an amazing ride.
And our guest this week, Philadelphia Union standout defender Ray Gattis, been with the squad since 2012. Ray, thanks so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
First of all, been with the squad since 2012. Does that seem possible when you take a step back and think about being in Philadelphia this long?
Oh, for sure. You know, I grew up in an era where it was cool to play for one team. As I've gotten older and older, I've definitely seen the reality of that being the case. I've enjoyed my time here in Philadelphia. Me being from a blue-collar place such as Indianapolis, Indiana, I know I fit right at home here in Philadelphia.
So 2020 has been a lot of things, and it's been a lot of things for a lot of people. What has this year been like for you on multiple different levels?
I mean, 2020 has most definitely been a year I think that we all will remember. It's been a very emotional year. It's been a very unorthodox year. It's definitely got us out of our norms. I know for myself, you know, it's been a year of growing, especially off the field. You know, I've had significant others who have lost their life due to COVID-19. I see the injustice that's going on in America, especially as an African-American male, to stand up and use my platform also to advocate for peace and to try to bring understanding and try to break down cross-cultural barriers. It's been a year of being responsible, to have conversations, not only in this locker room, but in the public, having marched in Indianapolis, Indiana, to try to bring some reform with some of the laws there. Advocating for change. It's been a year that has, we've seen a lot of change, just in various components of life. But it's been a year that has definitely kept not only myself, but I think everybody on their toes for the most part.
Between the pandemic, between the injustice, between the soccer, do you find yourself exhausted, energized, somewhere in between?
You know, me being a man of God, you know, I'm rejuvenated by what's called the Holy Spirit. You know, God allows me to understand that the circumstances that I see in the natural aren't always going to be the same. And he gives me hope every day. So I thank the Lord for being my base, because one can be discouraged and one can be feeling, like you said, a little tired of seeing some of the same things that continue to go on. But for me, I mentioned the word responsible. And I think that it's my responsibility to be the strength for my family, but also those who look up to me. It's not always easy, but every day that I get to play the game that I love, but every day that I get to wake up in the morning due to the Lord, it's another day to continue to press on and continue to do what he's asking of me, talking about the Lord. And like I said, I think it's he's placed me in this place to use this platform, not only to play soccer, but also to use it to exalt his name, but also bring change and to speak up for the voiceless as well.
Talking about the fight for social justice, you helped form the Black Players Coalition of MLS. For people that aren't familiar, talk about what that is and what you guys are doing.
Black Players for Change, I mean, it's just a group that was formed literally with a group of players who all saw the same tragedy of the late George Floyd, but not only him, several others, both men and women. And we wanted more representation within the soccer realm of things, especially in Major League Soccer. But again, we're here not only to advocate for people of color, but to allow other people to really have an understanding that we can coexist in this world. And I think that's lost on times, on people at times. But the group is here to empower also African-Americans and people of color, to allow them to know that they can be whoever they want to be, not just soccer players, although we're soccer players, but also, again, to break down cross-cultural barriers. This beautiful game that we play, it's the world's game. We're talking about soccer. It really has allowed us to come together on so many facets, and we've come together to believe that we can do it again, just as a collective of Black players within Major League Soccer.
I feel like when we talk about the racial injustice in this country, we've had a lot of moments where we think things are going to change, and it seems like we revert pretty much to status quo. Does this moment this year, this 2020, does it feel different to you?
You know, I think we're in the right step. Every day is an opportunity for change. That's my approach. And, you know, sometimes change comes quick and sometimes change takes a little bit of time. Obviously, we have an election coming up on November 3rd that's going to either push things forward or go in a different direction. But I think that change is definitely needed. I'm one person to admit that I don't have all the answers because, you know, the same things that are occurring in 2020, they essentially have reversed themselves. Like, for example, you know, we are always taught in history classes about Emmett Till, the things that he went through and or other African-Americans who are profiled in our history books. And in present day, we see it daily now due to technology. So until people with the right heart posture and the right mindset want to actually evoke change, then change will come. That's what I believe.
So let's talk about a little bit now about your life in soccer. Growing up in Indianapolis, was soccer always at the top of your sports list, or were you a kid that played whatever was being played in the neighborhood with your friends and depended on the season and who was out there?
No, I mean, Indiana, I mean, it's not a secret. Indiana's a big basketball state. I went to high school with Eric Gordon, who plays on the Rockets. He's just one grade above me. But my parents did a great job. They're exceptional parents. I can't praise them enough for investing time and the love in me. They let me play whatever I wanted to play. My dad always thought I was going to play baseball. I was a big baseball guy, but I ran track too. And, you know, I actually was really in love with, you know, ice skating, you know, to be honest. It's pretty cold in Indianapolis. But I actually started playing at this place called Tab. It's called the Tabernacle, where George Hill also grew up playing basketball, plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. Ever since they put me in soccer, I've always loved to just play soccer. I love the team aspect of it, and I had to make a major decision regarding whether to play baseball or play soccer, and I end up choosing soccer. And my high school actually is my head coach just retired. One of the most prolific high school and national high school coaches in the nation. His name is Jerry Little from the North Central Panthers. Seven titles, over an easy 400 or 500 wins, 40-something years playing. You know, I give credit to him because he's had a lot of great soccer players that have come through his program and won national titles at the collegiate level. But I'm thankful for it to be in a great environment where my high school is a powerhouse and my school district was a powerhouse in soccer.
When do you start to realize that soccer can take you further than most? When do you start to realize you don't just enjoy it, but you're pretty good at it, and maybe this can open some doors that it wouldn't be able to for most kids?
At an early age. At the time, it was the Olympic Development Program, what we call ODP back then, and now ESP is still a thing within Major League Soccer. But when you get invited to the ESP campus, the 120 best players, and then there's some goalies added in there. I want to say around really 9 and 10 when I started to be able to travel and go to different states. I always knew that soccer would take me place. There's actually a story where I was 3 or 4 years old and my dad's recording me. And I said I was going to be an All-American. I said I was going to be a professional soccer player. Obviously, I didn't know about the Philadelphia Union because they weren't in existence then, but I always had that belief that soccer was going to take me places.
You go to college at West Virginia. Why'd you choose the Mountaineers? And were there other schools that were close in being landing spots for you?
Sure. I mean, obviously, like I said, me being from Indiana, IU's right in my backyard, and they're a notable choice with their stature in soccer. For me, going to grade school, preliminary school, middle school, high school with the same kids, I wanted something different. That was part of the reason. But at the same time, though, I wanted a different experience in life. I wanted to go to a major all-around sports school. And at the time, my academics were very central to me and or still are. I actually got my master's degree from West Virginia University in integrated marketing and communications. And at that time, it was in the Big East. We got to play against people such as my teammates as Andre Blake. He was a prolific player at UConn. But every weekend we had a ranked game, whether it was against St. John, whether it was against South Florida. I'm trying to think of all the teams because the conferences have changed. Like I said, the UConns, the Louisvilles, playing Villanovas, the Seton Halls. And they had a grass field. So I really just enjoyed West Virginia and I really fell in love. You know, Indiana's a rural place, too, at the same time, and the culture there was amazing. I fell in love with the campus, and it's a place that I also call home to this day.
Throughout your career at West Virginia, are you confident that pro soccer is going to be a possibility for you and that's going to be a door that's going to be open?
Yeah, for sure. Marlon LeBlanc, he's the Philadelphia Union 2 coach now, and it seems like I can't get away from him. And he allotted me the opportunities to really excel. And after my first year and getting a taste and knowing that I could play with some of the people that I had seen get drafted in the MLS draft and or go play in various places, I definitely felt that I had the opportunity to really, really excel. And it was going to be up to me whether or not I could play at the next level.
Before we talk more about the path forward, were you always a defender? High school, college, did you play any offense at a certain point? I know the younger you are, the more interchangeable it is, but were you always on that path to be a fullback?
No, actually, you know, I thank the Lord for my experiences playing soccer, starting off like 11, 12, really all the way up until maybe I got to like 13 or 14, I was actually a striker. And, you know, and the reason why I give testament to my experience playing striker is because it's really helped me in the long end as a defender. Because I played striker, I actually understand some of the movements and or, you know, the positioning and some of the things that they try to do. And it really has helped me when I game plan and or watch other tendencies of strikers that I go up against. I want to say like 13 through 18, I was a defensive midfielder. I was just trying to win the ball and crush guys. Only when I got to national team pool and or the college that I started to really play outside back. And then in college, I played outside back, and then that's where they saw me as, and I played it ever since.
So as the draft is approaching in 2012, what are you hearing? Is it obvious Philadelphia is interested in you? Are you surprised when they're the ones that pull the trigger? Kind of take me back to that time leading up to and the draft.
No, actually, you know, my senior year was a great senior year, preseason All-American, and we actually were playing UConn, and I sustained a substantial injury. And, you know, nothing that I didn't bounce back from. But, you know, I kind of went off the radar, even after having a good career at West Virginia. And I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to play at Reading United. When I played at Reading United, it really allowed for exposure for the Philadelphia Union to see me. And because of the injury in college, I kind of dropped in the draft. And actually, a great story, really. They didn't even expect me to come to the draft. No one did, not even MLS. And I was praying in the middle of the night, and the Holy Spirit came to me and said, "No, you're going to get drafted," and actually narrowed down the teams specifically. And my parents were like, "Are you sure?" And we drove in the middle of the night, in a winter night in January, and got there right when the draft started. And a lot of names went by, And, you know, the first round went by, and actually one of the guys who played on my childhood teams, Matt Hedges, who plays for FC Dallas, me and him played on the same club team growing up. He got drafted, so we were sitting together, and our families have known each other since we were like 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. And second round came, and my name was called, and they were already ready to go to the next person. And they were like, "Oh, wait, he's here." And, you know, even the Philadelphia Union staff at that time was very shocked that I was in attendance. But that's the belief that the Lord had put in the capabilities he given me, as well as that I had in listening to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost.
What did you know about Philadelphia, and what did you know about the Union when you got drafted?
I knew quite a bit, actually, because, like I said, I played for Reading. And shout out to Nick Bibbs. He's the one that really introduced me to Philadelphia and the sights and sounds of, you know, Pennsylvania as a whole. He's the one that really exposed me to a lot of – I'm a big foodie guy. So, you know, I knew about Philadelphia and the eats here, man. They're really good. Being with him, and it was like he was a little bit more advanced from where I was. Indiana's completely different. So is West Virginia than Philly. But he basically gave me, like, the tutorial, you know, the Cliff Notes version of the do's and don'ts in Philly. But from then, I fell in love with Philly. And I knew it was always an opportunity. And I had a couple of friends that got drafted here, too. Levy Hapu at the time, who played on Reading also with me. So it was a great opportunity when I got here.
How's the transition to professional soccer? Obviously, you were playing at a high level, but I would imagine MLS is more than that. How difficult was the transition, and what was the hardest thing to adjust to?
I mean, just the regimen. In college, I think that you train every day, but you get off time, but it's not as frequent. And the adjustment was the speed of play initially. You know, I think I had all the physical attributes. I could read the game. Obviously, the game has progressed light years. Even in 2020 now, the talent pool. And I'm just thankful that I've been able to adjust every step of the way. MLS is a league that's really starting to go higher and higher among some of the greatest leagues in the world. But it was just the speed of play at the first part. And then once you catch on to that, I think West Virginia University prepared me with the tactics from a playing standpoint, and also the physicality standpoint with their weight room regimen. So it was the speed of play.
And it's a long season. That's the thing. I think MLS, it's a grind. There's not a lot of off season from one in normal times, you know, when you're not in the midst of a pandemic. Was that overwhelming at first? Like, you fight through and get through that first season, and then it's, you know, a couple months and we're right back to training? Or did it help accelerate, you think, your development because you got right back into it?
it helped accelerate it. It wasn't a shock. I mean, if this is what you love to do, you know, this is a part of the job. But that was always my mentality, but it helped accelerate because I got to work on things so much more in repetition, see things from a different point of view. And the staff was amazing. So it really helped accelerate my development.
Time for a break here on One-on-One. We will have more with Ray Gaddis of the Philadelphia Union right after this.
Hey, everybody, it's Cherry Gregg here. You may know me around town as KYW News Radio's community affairs reporter, but every week I produce and host Flashpoint, a podcast where we highlight the hot topics in Philadelphia, local newsmakers and change makers burning things up in our region. From gerrymandering to gender equality and policing in schools, we'll walk you through the flames on Flashpoint. It's available wherever you downloaded this podcast that you're listening to now. So subscribe. Thanks so much.
And we are back here on One-on-One. Our guest this week, Philadelphia Union's Ray Gaddis. What are some of your favorite memories from the time with the Union? And given how successful you guys are, some of the best memories are still probably yet to be written. But when you think of your time from 2012 to now, what jumps out at you as times you'll never forget?
One of the first things that I remember with the Philadelphia Union will be my first ever start. Well, obviously, getting drafted here in Kansas City, the dream come true for me and my family and all the people that believed in me. And then my first ever start was our first ever win that season. That's the Columbus Crew. I always remember that. I remember Claiborne's free kick against Toronto. I've gotten to see a lot of beautiful things here. Even though we've been to a couple of championships, just the atmosphere for the U.S. Open Cups were amazing. The fans have been amazing in the time here. I really, really have enjoyed seeing Brendan Aaronson this year, being able to see the fruits of his labor and to be a part of his development and get to know him coming through the academy. You know, I mean, I don't think people look at it from that standpoint, but he's like a little brother to me, and I would like to think that, you know, I helped him along the way. Obviously, he did all the work from the soccer standpoint, but just allowing him to comfort him to come into this. These are things that people don't really see that are big, that may be big to me. I would definitely say winning our first ever playoff game versus New York. How can I forget that? Such a amazing win, such something that's amazing, dear to heart. Seeing Coach Curtin develop as a coach, he essentially has come through the ranks with me every step of the way, and he's been here for a long tenure of time now amongst active coaches. And to see his development, you know, he's been able to adjust on the fly. We were talking about that development standpoint and seeing his maturity as a coach. You know, obviously I'm still his player, but to be a part of that and to see his success is amazing. Because like I said, in this realm of professional soccer, he's been somebody who's been dear to my development as well. So those are some of the things. Obviously watching, I call him Skill Senior. But people know him as El Senio, you know, he gets to play in front of me, so I get to see a lot of highlights, you know, myself. So I can go on and on about him, but seeing what Warren Carvalho did in creating a solidarity T-shirt for the MLS's back tournament, it's not always the things that are on the field, but it's things that you're a part of. The demonstration that the Philadelphia Union took on national television versus NYFC, to bring attention to the social justice and how collective we were as a group, and really having an opportunity to show that we were on a unified front. I think that demonstration early in the year from staff down has really helped our team really gel throughout the season and has led to some success, because we know that we're in every fight, not just the fight against injustice, but when we take the field, we're in there to fight together as well. So there's a lot of things that a lot of memorable moments that I always will remember. Scoring a PK in the U.S. Open Cup versus Sporting KC. It's amazing. It's been an amazing ride.
And it's still going. Do you remember the moment, because I always am interested in this, when somebody spends a good amount of time of their career in one place, do you remember the moment when you feel like you transitioned from the young kid to one of the trusted veterans on the team? Was there a moment when you had a conversation with a rookie or something and you kind of hit you like, wait a minute, I was the guy getting that talk 4 years ago. This is kind of weird.
Yeah, I would say like, you know, it happened earlier for me. being a long tenure player here, 9 years here, and kind of seeing, like I said, really seeing this amazing group of homegrown players. But I want to say, like, really with Derrick Jones and his development, he's doing a wonderful job down in Nashville. But that may have been about 4 to 5 years ago. I really knew, like, to this day, he calls me old head, because even though I'm young still, in the soccer world, sports realm, you know, you could be considered old because you've been a place or played a long time. And that's kind of when I knew, when I started talking to Derrick Jones, but in the likes of having conversations with Matt Real, Matt Freeze, Mark McKenzie, Anthony Fontana, and now even more with, you got 17-year-olds and you're 30 and you're like, you know, they're talking about anime and they're talking about random stuff and they have to school me on stuff. It's always fun because I get to learn. I look at it as I'm learning also, but being able to relate with my teammates in different aspects, but being able to teach them different things. So it's very interesting, like, you know, who listening to who their favorite players are, but then they do, but they don't know about, like, you know, Sadoff and Jop Stom, who's a coach now, and they don't know about these players we grew up with, but listening to their favorite players now, that's when you kind of know, not maybe the conversation that, you know, you're a leader, but you're getting older and you're like, man, wow. So
as a player, where have you grown the most since 2012?
Learning not to use my athleticism as much, but also learning in every aspect. I believe that Philadelphia, I've spent my whole adult life here, not only from a soccer standpoint, but from a maturity standpoint, that I've grew up a lot in how to handle situations on the field, but how to be a voice to command a team. I really matured in my leadership capabilities as well. I've always been a captain on teams before this, but a leader is more than just being a captain. That's what you do on and off the field. I really matured. I played more games at left back than I did as a right back. But people don't know that. And I said, playing on the left side of the field has really made everything so much easier on the right side of the field, because you have to read things differently. My versatility, I've always played multiple positions, has really shown itself, but it's mature in how to play those positions to a max level, even if that's not my primary position. There's a lot of things that I've improved in every aspect since I've been here at the Philadelphia Union organization.
How's the game changed? How's the league changed? We've talked about it's exploded, you know, from a media standpoint, growth standpoint, but tactically, is, because I think every sport has ebb and flows as to how it's played and what's focused on. Have you noticed that over your career in MLS?
For sure. When I first got to the league, it was very much more domesticated with American players. And you know, the talent, not saying that, because we're seeing some amazing talents, again, a la Brendan Aaronson and potentially Mark McKenzie at the end of the year. And we're seeing what Anthony Fontana is doing. He's on a tear right now. And I'm very proud of these guys who can potentially go to Europe. And you have the Weston McKinneys. You know, you have the Tyler Adams. You have these guys that are playing in Champions League. So the United States is producing great players. But the players who are listed to the world as great talents, they're coming here at a younger age. So the level of play has risen as well. The dynamic, the speed of play has totally increased. Tactically, people are more clinical in front of goal. The opportunities to really win are heightened because of the quality of players. Look at a player such as ourselves, as Jamiro Montero. What he does defensively as well as offensively shows his quality in being able – and him wanting to be here and playing this league. All aspects of the league have changed, even tactically, from a coaching standpoint and how you roll out a team. The whole, I guess, the presence or mechanism to build your roster from top to bottom, players 1 through, let's say, 26, you have to have a full team because, like you said, the season is so long. So it's not just based off of the 1 or 2 players that you sign, the high prolific players that you sign that you think are going to get the job done. But it's the full roster. You can't just be reliant from like year 1 and 2. A lot of teams were relying on particular stars, but now you need your whole roster. And this year, with so many stops and goals and how many games we played in a rapid succession, you need your whole roster, and that's shown as well.
You've been through a lot with this organization, ups, downs, inconsistencies through the years. You mentioned that first playoff win last year. I feel like last year the organization, the franchise kind of crossed a threshold, and you guys have taken it to another level. You are now a legitimate team to be reckoned with, not just in the region, not just in the conference, but in the league. Still work to do, so I don't want to ask this question like the chapter's finished, but how satisfying is it for you as someone who's been here through some lean times to now be able to be a part of something special?
It's good. You know, I think we always, I look back on it a little bit more intensely as I get older, but it was good. You know, like I said, Coach Curtin, to see it come with him, 4 out of the last 5 years, I believe it is, we made the playoffs and we'll win a playoff game. It's like he's growing as well. Doing as well as we did in the MLS back tournament has been amazing. I mean, it's something that we'll look back maybe when I'm sitting down and I'm done with my career. But it's been amazing. You know, and I think that the fan base has been rewarded too, because the fan base has always been amazing, even when I've been here when we weren't doing well as well. And I think it was more of a reward for them. When you're done playing, I think you think about those things a little bit more.
Kind of going along with that, all-time leader in minutes played in Union history, first player to make 200 starts, most appearances. Do you ever take a step back to think, and that's just on the field stuff, the impact that you've had on this franchise, or is that another thing that when it's all over, you take that deep breath and look back and go, you know, yeah, I mattered. I did a lot here.
You know, I thank the Lord again for allowing everybody who believed in me to accomplish these feats. The Lord for allowing me to be healthy. When they happen, I really do smile, and I think about how far I've come as a young man. But also that God believed in me and my coaches believed in me enough to have these blessings bestowed upon me. You know, I think I look on them more as I'm older and I sit down and when I have kids and grandkids and say, hey, you know, I was a part of this. I do believe, and you know, I think that I've left a good impact even on our younger players. The playing athletes will always come, but the thing that I'm most important of, like you brought up, is, you know, changing the culture here and being a part of it, being entrusted by our coaches to be a leader, as we touched on, and really pushing this thing. Now, my whole concept, and like you said, it's not over, is to leave this place better than what I found it in every aspect, and to leave my footprint in the sand with the Philadelphia Union. And I've just been thankful again for the opportunities that have been allotted to me here at this organization.
And one thing and it's not unusual as a defender, you haven't scored a goal, and there is a section of the fan base that is really, really excited for you to finally score a goal. Do you hear that and enjoy that they're so invested in you? And it's genuine. When you do score, it's going to be nuts on Twitter. So, I mean, do you realize that? Do you feel that?
Yeah, I definitely feel that. You know, it is genuine. You know, being here so long, you know, I have friends who became family that have been a part of the supporter group. Like I said, these fans have watched me grow up, and I've gotten to watch them grow up and or establish families and some of these people. So I know it's very genuine, and you know, it'll be a blessing to reward them. And I definitely know that Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and I've been getting a lot of comments this past week. You know, you score. You know, I hope. You know, it's kind of a blessing, and I say this in a fun way, that the fans are in full capacity, because it's the thing, you know, if Bray scores, we'll riot and we'll run on the field. I don't want anyone to lose their privileges to come to the game, you know. So I always think about that, and I do believe that we would have some fans that would run onto the field. And I've seen some older videos in baseball where fans run alongside stars, and you know, I said, man, I don't want anybody to be suspended or to lose their season tickets due to something. But I do believe some fans would do that. So,
Ray Gaddis, thanks so much for the time. I really enjoyed the conversation. I hope you did too.
I appreciate you grabbing me. Thank you so much.
And that will do it for this week's episode of One on One. Want to thank Ray Gaddis of the Philadelphia Union for joining us this week. If you listen to the show on Apple Podcasts and you like what you hear, why don't you go ahead and leave us a rating and a review? You can follow the show on Twitter at One on One Pod. You can follow me on Twitter as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks again for listening, and tune in again next week when we will have another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.